Okay, this week we are learning Brachos Daf Chaf. This week's shiur is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. And we ended off last week on Yitess Amid Beis talking about the fascinating discussion of Kavod Abrios being Doche Losa Seisha B'Torah. The Gemara's example was if you find out that you have Kelayim De'oraisa, you're wearing shatnez on your shirt and you're in the middle of public, so do you have to take it off in the middle of the shuk? And the answer, the Gemara said, yes, you do. Kavod Abrios is not going to override a De'oraisa prohibition. But the Gemara went through different questions on that rule, and as of now, we've concluded that that's only true for De'oraisas. For Derabanans, Kavod Abrios is going to win out. So if you have a Kavod Abrios issue or something like human dignity, it's gonna you're going to be embarrassed, then you don't have to, then that's going to override any Din Derabanan. We had several different Tashmas questioning that rule, and now we are up to the last one, which is six lines down from Yutes Amid Beis. The Gemara now is going to bring an additional exception to this rule. The Gemara says, Tashma Ula Achoso. This is a pasuk by Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to become Tame, and the pasuk says that a Nazir can't become Tame to anyone. Kol Nefesh, Al Nefesh Meis, Lo Yavo, he can't become Tame to anybody. The pasuk then also says he can't become Tame to his brother and to his sister, to his mother, to his father. He can't become Tame to any of these individual people either. And Chazal are confused, weren't these people included in everyone? You say, Nazir, you can't become Tame to anybody. Also, to these four specific people. That was already included when I said you can't become Tame to anyone. So Chazal learned a different, unique halacha from each of these words in the pasuk, from each of these, from a father, from a mother, to from a brother and sister. Each of those words is teaching us an additional din, and Rashi goes through each of those one by one, where it teaches us things like how a nazir can't become tame in general to a relative, but they can become tame if there is a mace mitzvah. If there is someone, a dead body lying around, and no one is tending for the mace, then we do say that the nazir is allowed to become tame for a mace mitzvah. And our Gemara continues off from that, from the last drasha of Ula Ach. That pasuk says that you cannot become tame, a nazir cannot become tame to his sister. So ma tamalom, what is that coming to teach me? So harei shahaya holech lishchod es pischo velamol es bino. A person who's going to shecht their carbon pesach or to perform a bris milah on their son, and then shama shemes lo meis, he hears that there was a mace in the family. So yachol yachzor v'yitame, maybe he should become tame. So amart lo yitame. No, in general, if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, that you should not become tame. If that's going to mean you can't complete the mitzvah. But then yachol kishem she'ena metame lahem kach ena metame lemeis mitzvah. Maybe that's also true for a meis mitzvah. Just like I can't become tame for a relative, if I'm on my way to perform karban pesach, I also can't become tame for a meis mitzvah. The Mara says no. Tame lomar ula achoso la achoso hu de'ena metame aval metame hu lemeis mitzvah. That you shouldn't become tame to a relative, but if there's a meis mitzvah over there, then even though you're going to do a mitzvah de'oraisa like pesach and milah, still you are allowed to become tame, and you should become tame for the meis mitzvah. Which Rashi points out, meis mitzvah. Think about the factors we have here. On the one hand, you have the de'oraisa mitzvos of pesach and milah, and that's not just any mitzvahs, those are the mitzvahs that are actually mitzvahs asay that your chayav kareis for if you don't perform. Those are probably the highest level of mitzvahs asay. And you have, on the other hand, kavod abrios, there's a mace who's lying around and no one's taking care of the mace. So in that case, you have a deoraisa and kavod abrios, and we say kavod abrios wins out, that you take care of the mace even though you're not going to be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs deoraisa. So amai, isn't that a question on what we said when we started off with? That lema ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etel eneged Hashem. That we learn from that pasuk that kavod abrios does not win out over a deoraisa, and here we're dealing with dinim deoraisa of karban pesach and mila. So the Gemara answers, shiny hasam deksiv ula achoso. Mara says, maybe this is an exception to the rule, because there's a pasuk telling me, over here, Kavod Abrios is going to win out over Deoraisas, but otherwise, usually, it's not going to. But Mara asks, V'ligmar mina, okay, maybe this is the rule. Maybe from here we should learn, a binyan av to everywhere else, that just like over here, Kavod Abrios wins out over Deoraisas, so too always, Kavod Abrios is going to win out over Deoraisas. So Mara says, Sheva altase shani. Here it's different, because here you're only violating the Deoraisa passively, right? I'm not actively violating the Torah. The Torah says I have to go perform a Karban Pesach, and I'm passively not doing that. So maybe Kavod HaBrios only beats out Deoraisas when you're passively not going to be Mekayim a Deoraisa. But if you're going to actively violate a Deoraisa, you're going to actively go against the Torah for Kavod HaBrios, that is not going to be okay. So that concludes the Gemara's discussion of Kavod HaBrios being Doche Alos HaSeisha B'Torah. And as of now, as of the Gemara conclusion, we have two exceptions to that rule. When does Kavod HaBrios win out? So two situations. Exception number one we had last week is by Dirabanans. By the Rabbanans, Kavod HaBrios is going to override the rabbinic prohibition. And also, even by Deoraisas, if it's Sheva Al Tase, if it's being done passively. So if you think back to the example from last week of where you're wearing shatnez in the street, and then you find out that you're in the middle of the shuk and you have shatnez on your clothes, so you may have been concerned, what if this happens to me? This has happened to me. I've been in shul where I'm wearing a suit and someone says, oh, hey, I also have a suit from that same company. Did you get a check for shatnez? I'm like, no, I didn't. They're like, oh, but I did and it has shatnez. So I'm sitting in shul and I'm wearing a suit that probably has shatnez. So do I have to take off my suit because the Gemara says, who cares about Kevin's personal dignity? Just take off your clothes in public because they have shatnez in them. So if it was shatnez d'oraisa, yes, but as we said, the Rabbanans are different. And to be shatnez d'oraisa is a very unique case where every single thread is twined with wool and linen together. So it's probably really only going to be shatnez d'rabbanan. So we would be able to have the comfort of walking home before you remove your shatnez clothing. So that was exception number one of the Rabbanans. You may also think, well, maybe that's being passive. Maybe when I'm wearing a shatnez suit, aren't I just passively violating the Torah? I'm not actively putting things on. I'm just wearing it on my clothes. So the Rishon and Rashi over here and the Ritva and Maku say that really wearing is also halachically viewed as being active, that every second that you don't remove something, that keeping it on yourself is actually an active violation. Even though you feel like you're passively wearing something, halachically, we view that as being an active violation. So those are our two exceptions, our Durabanans and Sheva Al Tase. The interesting question is, that's so far talking about if I'm wearing shatnez. So I'm in the middle of the shuk and I know that I'm wearing shatnez, so I have to take it off right away if it's shatnez Deoraisa. Let's say I see someone else and I know that they are wearing shatnez. I see another guy, so fine, if it's me wearing shatnez, I have to take it off even though I'm going to be embarrassed. Kavod HaBrios is not going to override a din d'oraisa. But let's say I see another guy and he is wearing shatnez. Do I have an obligation to go and tell him, hey, you're wearing shatnez, take that off right now? Or maybe it's only when it's me, but not when it's someone else. So that's an afokas between the Rambam and the Rush. The Rambam says that even if it's someone else's clothing, even someone, he has a different girsa in our Gemara, where it doesn't say the big dough, it just says in general. If you see Kalayim Bishuk, you have to take it off, even if it's someone else's clothing. You have to go in and let them know, hey, you have to take that off right now. Whereas the Rush says, no, the Rush says it's only if it's you. But if you see someone else who's wearing shatnez, they don't even know it's Bishogig, so then there would be no requirement to take it off of someone else, only if it's you. And there are a whole slew of fascinating, interesting cases of Kavod HaBrios that come up Lamaisa in many tshuva svarim. The most fascinating was a tshuva in the Noda B'Yehuda in Simon Lamed Hay. And it's probably famous because it's a really crazy situation. There was a yeshiva bachar who was in yeshiva, and back then they didn't have dormitories in every yeshiva. Some places you just went to go live in someone's house. So this yeshiva bachar is living in someone's house, and he's there for 3 years, and then eventually, mazel tov, he gets engaged to the daughter of the household. Great, fantastic, everyone's happy. Here's the truth to know to be Yehuda, I have an issue because I was having an affair with my future mother-in-law. Those 3 years that I was in yeshiva, I had an affair with the mother of the household. Do I have an obligation to tell my future father-in-law, hey, you're usher to your wife, because if your wife was Mizana, she's usher to you. Do I have an obligation to tell him? Or maybe I can be Sheva Al Tase, because this would be a huge Kavod HaBrios violation. It would be a pigam to the family name. It would be embarrassment to everyone. So maybe he says I can be Sheva Al Tase. That's like Mara says, Sheva Al Tase Shani, I can be passive. You have to think about it. He says, I want to be passive to not tell my father-in-law, but meanwhile, his father-in-law is active. Kum ba'ase. That's why it's machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. I see someone else doing something, so I have an obligation to tell them that they're violating something, or perhaps is it only if it's me, myself? The second half of the tshuva is talking about when the yeshiva bachar asks, he says, how do I do tshuva for something like this? He says, I'm a masmid and I'm a weak person. I can't take on fasting for too long. So how am I supposed to do tshuva for such a thing? something, which is also a very important question to ask. So that was the question that was asked. He also, the Behuda is Mechalik, maybe over here, where it's just, I see a guy wearing shanes, and then I'll tell him later, I'll say, hey, just wait until he gets home, and then I'll tell him, hey, take off your shanes. So then, maybe that's when the Rush says, you don't have to tell him to take off, you see someone else, you don't have to tell them to take off their shanes right now, because you'll tell them later to take it off, and then it'll be done. They'll stop violating the Isser for just to be a one-time Isser. But here, the father-in-law is going to be with his wife forever, for all eternity, the rest of their lives. That's many, many Yisurim. Maybe everyone, even the Rambam and the Rush, would agree that in this case, the Rabbi Yehuda says, the Yeshiva Bachar would have to tell the father-in-law. The case that comes up, which is also very interesting and comes up a bit more, or a version of this case comes up, is by Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is when someone has a firstborn son, so they have the Pidyon HaBen ceremony. There's a shiloh that was asked to Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer about a woman who was a balas tshuva, and in her past she had been with another man and she had a very late abortion. Then she's a balas tshuva, she marries a guy, and then the guy doesn't know anything about her past, and then they go and they have a baby together, their first baby together is a boy. So the husband says, great, I'll set up the Pidyon HaBen. And she's freaking out, there shouldn't be a Pidyon HaBen, because I already had an abortion a while ago. So she asks Rav Avadya, do I have to tell everyone to stop the Pidyon HaBen ceremony because I know there really shouldn't be one, or perhaps I can be passive because there's going to be a tremendous Kavod Arbiyos violation if everyone finds out that I had this abortion. The more lamaisa case that comes up is if someone had a miscarriage. Someone has a miscarriage and don't want everyone to know about it. So everyone says, oh look, firstborn baby boy, Pidyon HaBen, right? So you have to go telling everyone, actually there's no Pidyon because I had a miscarriage. That would be very embarrassing. So in that case, so the more lamaisa way that they fix that problem is they tell the Kohen to just botch up the Shem Hashem. So when you say the bracha of Hashem's name, just don't say it. So say only the Kohen's going to know. But that's it. No one else has to know. You have the whole ceremony and just don't say the actual Shem Hashem. The other way to think about it is that what's the violation over here? It's only a violation of bracha lebatala, that the guy's going to say a bracha on the pidyon. Is that a deoraisa or a derabanan to say a bracha lebatala? So the Rambam says it's deoraisa, but most Yishonim say it's only derabanan. Right? To say Hashem's name in vain is definitely a deoraisa iser. That's just to go walking around the street saying Hashem, Hashem, Hashem for no reason. But to say, blessed are you Hashem, the master of the universe, that's not a violation of saying Hashem's name in vain deoraisa. So most say it's only a derabanan. That would be another reason to say that by the Rabbanans, Kavod Arbiyos is definitely going to win out. One other one that we also probably are familiar with is by cutting toilet paper on Shabbos. If you don't have toilet paper, that could be a Kavod Arbiyos issue. So as long as you cut it with a shinui, that's a derabanan. A derabanan, we say that Kavod Arbiyos is going to override a din derabanan. So that's the conversation about Kavod Arbiyos being docha lo sa'aseh shebetorah. The Gemara now continues four lines down on Chaf Amud Aleph. Amalei Rav Papa LeAbaye. Maishna Rishonim DeEsrachish LeHu Nisa UMaishna Anan DeLo Mesrachish LaNisa. Why is it that the previous generations had miracles happen for them, and for us, we don't have any miracles happen for us, and we seem to be better? Right? If it's because they learned more Torah, but B'Shnei Rabbi Yehuda Kule Tenuya B'Nezikin Hava. In the years of Rabbi Yehuda, all they learned was Sefer Nezikin, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. That was all that they learned. But Anan, Kamasnin, and Shisa Sidri, we learned all Shisha Sidri Mishnah. V'chiyav Amati Rabbi Yehuda be'Oktzin, and when Rabbi Yehuda got to Oktzin, one of the Tyros Mishnayos, and he only learned Nezikin, he didn't know Mishnayos Tyros. So he got to these halachos of Ha'isha Shekoveshes Yerek be'Kedera, Fa'amrila Zesim Shekovshan be'Tarfeyan Tehorim. Whether it's the halacha that he got to was about a woman who was pickling a vegetable, or she was pickling aloes with their leaves. The halacha is that they're tahor, talking about whether when after you pickle something and the stem falls off of the fruit or vegetable, so now does it have the ability to become tameh or not? But he got so confused. Amar havayos de Rav v'Shmuel kachazina haka. He said, I'm so, just like I don't understand Rav and Shmuel's questions on Gemara, I don't know what's going on over here in Oktzin. That was Rav Yehuda. But Anan kamasninan be'Oktzin tleisar mesivta. We have 13 yeshivas learning Meseches Oktzin. So we seem to be even greater. But still, ve'ilu Rav Yehuda ki have a shalif chad mesane asi mitra. When Rav Yehuda, when there was a drought and Rav Yehuda wanted there to be rain, he had to just do one tiny niho gavelus of taking off his shoe. And immediately, miraculously, rain would fall. Miracles would happen. And we are causing ourselves pain, and we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no rain comes at all. Nothing happens. So what's the difference between them that they had miracles and we don't? So Amar Le, Kamoi Hava Kamasri Nafshayu Akrushas Hashem, Anan Lomasri Nafshin Akrushas Hashem. They were dedicated to commit themselves for Kiddush Hashem, and we were not Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. Makes sense. The Gemara has a very interesting example of what was their Mesiras Nefesh. Ki ha Rav Ada bar Ava, Chazya lahahikusis tahavas levisha karbalta b'shuka. Rav Ada bar Ava once saw a woman who was a kusi, a non-Jewish woman. She was wearing a karbalta, which is a very inappropriate clothing, in the shuk. And Savar the Bas Yisraeli, he thought she was a Bas Yisrael. So come Kar'e Minah, and he took it, he just ripped the clothing off of her, because he was wearing something that was not appropriate to be worn in the Shuk. But then he, Glai Nilsa, he found out, the Kus is he. She wasn't even Jewish in the first place. He shouldn't have taken that off of her. She wasn't violating anything at all. But Shai Muha Ba'arba Me'azuzi, therefore they said that he owes her 400 zos for causing her this embarrassment. But we see how dedicated he was for not causing any chilul Hashem, for any of it, allowing any of the eros to happen. So then what happened? Amar le mashamechi, asked her, what's your name? Amar le mason. The kusi said, my name is mason. So amar la mason mason, arba meyazuzi shavya. He said, mason mason, I owe you 400 zuz. Rashi says, tupshatim, either mason mason, meaning like meya is 100, ma'asan mem aleph taf nun is 200. So mason mason, 200 plus 200 is the 400 zuz that I owe you, or mason milashon hamtana. If only I had been more patient and waited before I ripped it off you, I should have evaluated the situation. I could have saved myself 400 ziz. So that's the example of their mesiras nefesh and why they are zoche to miracles. So what was this clothing that this woman was wearing that he had to rip it off? So some say she was wearing shaniz. And this is a raya for the Rambam. The Rambam says if you see someone else wearing shaniz, you have to rip it off. That's exactly what happened by Rav Ada bar Ava. But the interesting explanation is by the Aruch. The Aruch, which is actually on the side of the Gemara in the Masoras HaShas, he says, Perish Beged Adom. It was a red clothing. Kegon Karbalta de Tarnagola, She'ein Derech Banos Yisrael Le'es Kasos Bo, Shehu Pritzes, Umevi Lidvar Avera. It's inappropriate for women, for Jewish women, to be wearing red clothing, because it's Pritzes, and can lead to Avera. And this is a very extensive halachic discussion about women wearing red clothing. From here we see that red clothing is pritzas. This comes up in the Ramah, actually, in Chukas Akum. In the Lakos of Chukas Akum, where the Ramah says, you shouldn't wear clothing like the Nachrim, and Ramah's example is red clothing. So is this actually an issue for women to wear any red clothing because it's too attention-grabbing and it leads to pritzas? So there's a whole spectrum of opinions on the matter. There's the most makel is Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. He's quoted by the Darkei Tshuva as being makel because this comes up in the Ramah by Chukas Akum. And nowadays, we don't see Nachrim, non-Jewish people, specifically wearing the color red. It's not like a non-Jewish color, the color red. So therefore, it doesn't apply anymore. Right? It was a Chukas Akum issue. The Goyim don't dress like that anymore. So therefore, there's absolutely no issue with wearing red at all. This case was a bit of a Shasav Chak, but that's ultimately what Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan suggests. Rav Yashiv, however, says, no, red definitely is a problem. Rav Yashiv has a little bit of leeway. He says, only red, but like pink and purple, other colors are not. But red, hard stop, red is definitely going to be a problem. And some say that, oh, maybe it's only a problem to wear it outdoors, but to wear indoors is okay. And some say, oh, indoors is only okay if your wife isn't Anita, but if she isn't, some say, even indoors, if your wife is not Anita, you still can never wear red. So some are very, very machmir on this. And then there's the opinion of Rav Schechter, as well as Rav Sternbach and Achuva suggest, that's not about the color red in particular, it's about pritzas. So whatever colors are going to be, if you have a really bright yellow dress, which is attention-grabbing, that's also going to be a problem. It's not about the color red specifically, it's about just things that are attention-grabbing. If it's a red dress that is tsanua, that's not going to be a problem. It just depends on what you're wearing. And Rav Schechter also concludes that men also have this prohibition. Men also have halachos of tzniut, of dressing properly. This isn't about women wearing red. It's about people dressing tzniut and not leading to pritzas. The Gemara now continues with a couple of stories. Rav Gidol have a ragil to have a ka'azil v'yasev asharei d'tvila. Rav Gidol would sit by the mikvah. Women would go to be tovo to become tahor to their husbands. So amar lahu, he would say to them, Hachi Tavilu, Bahachi Tavilu, this is how you should go and be tovel and dip in the mikvah. Amile Rabbanan, Lokam Estape, Mar Mi Yetzer Hara. Aren't you afraid of the Yetzer Hara? You're being around all these women when they're going into the mikvah. That's not a good idea. So he responds to them, Amar Lahu, Damyan Ba'apoi, Ki Ka'akai Chivri. To me, they're like white geese. I don't view them as anything that's going to incite my Yetzer Hara. I don't have any taivas based on his madriga. Another example is Rabbi Yochanan. He also liked to stay by the mikvah. And Amar ki salkan benos Yisrael. The reason why was because when benos Yisrael go to the mikvah, the asen mitvila mistaklin bi benahav lahu zara deshapiri kavasi. Rabbi Yochanan said, "I'm very beautiful, and so I'll be by the mikvah so that women see me as they come out of the mikvah, and they'll have my image in mind, and then." When they're with their husbands, this will cause them, when they have children, their children will be beautiful like me, whether it's beautiful physically or beautiful like Rabbi Yochanan's, Kedusha and Madrega. Ba'amale Rabbanan lo kamestape marmi eina bisha. Aren't you afraid of the ayin hara? At first, they asked Rav Gidl about the Yetzer Hara. They asked Rav Yochanan about the Ayin Hara. Amar lahu anami zara de Yosef ka'asina delo shalta bei ein abisha. I come from Yosef. I'm either he's literally a descendant of Yosef, or that he just follows the same mitos of Yosef that make him also not going to be susceptible to the Ayin Hara. How do you know Yosef doesn't have any Ayin Hara? Tichsiv ben paras Yosef ben paras ale Ayin. And in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov gives Yosef a bracha, he says, Ben paras Yosef, Yosef, you're very charming, and you're also alei ayin. Amar Rabbi Avahu, al tikrei alei ayin, ela olei ayin. It means that you are above the ayin hara. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, amar mehacha. A second place we see Yosef has no ayin hara is from the following, Beyid gula ro bekerav haaretz. That's the bracha to Menashe and Ephraim. Ma dagim shebeyam mayam mechasim aleyam ve'en hayin hara shaletes bohem. Just like fish are covered by the water, and therefore there's no ayin hara on them because people can't see them. Afzar so Yosef in Ayin Hara shalat esbahem, so too Yosef is not impacted by the Ayin Hara. The Iba Yisema, Ayin Shalo Ratzisa Lazon Mimasha Eno Shalo, Ein Ayin Hara shalat esbo. Or finally, a third reason why Yosef doesn't have an Ayin Hara is just since he didn't look at what other people had. Rashi says that we're talking about Eshes Potifar, he didn't look to get Hana from other people's things, therefore the Ayin Hara is not going to impact him. Ayin Hara is about when you flaunt what you have and people look at you and that makes people feel negatively. But if you're comfortable with what you have and you don't look at what other people have, then you're not going to be impacted by the Ayin Hara. That's why Yosef was not impacted by the Ayin Hara. That's why Rav Yochanan says, I'm not concerned about the Ayin Hara because I'm from Yosef. So the Bach over here on the side, the Bach usually just has like girsa changes, like things like take some words out, put some words in. Here the Bach asks, why is it in the first story with Rav Gidl and Rav Yochanan both sat by the mikvah? Rav Gidl, we asked, aren't you concerned of the Yetzer Hara? And Rav Yochanan, we asked, why aren't you concerned of the Ayin Hara? Why doesn't anyone ask Rav Yochanan about his Yetzer Hara? Why isn't he have a concern? He's looking at these women who are going to the mikvah. So the Bach points out, there's an interesting physical trait that Rav Yochanan had that the Gemara in Tainis says that Rav Yochanan had very long eyelashes. That is, even he had to like physically lift up his eyelashes in order to see who he was talking to. So therefore, he didn't have a concern that he had a hara because he had a blurred vision in the first place. So that's the discussion of Kavod Arbios being Tochalos HaZeisha B'Torah, and then the story of Ada Barava taking off the clothes of the Kusi, and then we had Rav Gidl and Rav Yochanan who would sit by the mikvah. Now the Gemara turns, there's a new Mishnah now. The Mishnah is going to talk about women's obligation in mitzvot. And the Mishnah says in the very last line of Chaf Amud Aleph, Nashim va'avadim u'ketanim peturim mikriyashma. Women, avadim, and ketanim, minors, are all pater from kriyashma. Umin ha'tefillin. They're also pater from tefillin. V'chayavin v'tfila uv'mezuzah uv'berkas hamazon, but they are obligated in davening, in mezuzah, and berkas hamazon. The Gemara is going to go through each of these mitzvot and explain why that's the Talmud that they're pater in these and why they are chayav in these. And we're going to focus mainly on women, but let's stop for 1 second and talk about ketanim, because the Mishnah said that ketanim are pater mikriyashma. So what kind of katan are we talking about? Usually when we say a katan, it could be a katan that's a 2-year-old who's a lohi higia lechinuch, or it could be a katan who's like 9 or 10 who's higia lechinuch. So we say a katan is pater from kriyashma. What kind of katan are we talking about? So Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfot on the bottom of Chaf Med Aleph says simply we're talking about a katan that's really, really young. He's lohi higia lechinuch, and that's why we say he's pater from kriyashma. But once he gets older and he's 9 or 10, he's able to say the words of Shema, and therefore he will be chayev in Shema. But Rashi, the last Rashi on Chaf Med Aleph, says, no, when we say a katan is patur from Kriyashma, it's even talking about a katan that was higia lechinuch. Even a pretty old katan is also going to be exempt from Kriyashma, as Rashi explains, lo hitilu al adav lechancho bekriyashma, lefisha eino matsui tamid kishimegia zman kriyashma, because the father isn't often around with his son, specifically at the zman kriyashma, so therefore, we're not going to obligate the father to be mechanech his son. That's a very interesting machlok as Rashi and Tosfos, which actually comes up in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even say yesh omim and yesh omim. It says literally, Rashi says, even higia lechinuch is exempt from kriyashma. Bin Utam says, no, if you're higia lechinuch, then that katan is going to be obligated in kriyashma. The Gemara now is going to go through these mitzvos and talk about whether a woman or why a woman is patur in some and obligated in others. The Gemara says on Chaf Med Beis, the very first line of the Gemara, Kriyashma Pshita. We said a woman is going to be pater from Kriyashma. She's exempt from saying Kriyashma. That's obvious. Mitzvah Sasesha Zman Gramahu. That's a time-bound mitzvah. It's time-sensitive. And the Gemara in Kiddushin says, the whole Mitzvah Sasesha Zman Grama Nashim Peturos. Women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvahs. So obviously Kriyashma, they're going to be exempt. So Gemara says, no. Mahu Detema Hol Be'isba Machlo Shemayim. I would have thought that maybe since this is a really important mitzvah, this is Kabbalah Salah Shemayim, except in Kadosh Baruch Hu as master of the universe, so that maybe they should be chayavin. Kamash Mullah, no, they're still going to be pater, because after all, it is a mitzvah saseh, shahazman, grama. Shulchan Aruch points out that even though they're pater technically, it's very appropriate for them to say it, because as Umar said, it's a really important mitzvah, because it has kabbalos, al malchus, shamayim. And we have over here the rule, which we're going to mention several times on this amud, of women are exempt from mitzvah saseh, shahazman, grama. There's a lot to talk about. I believe Rabbi Rothberger put out a podcast on the topic of mitzvah saseh, shahazman, grama. But we'll talk about some of the main ideas, and we'll talk about more as the Gemara goes on, of the patur of mitzvah saseh, shahazman, grama. So women are exempt from time-bound mitzvot, as we are all familiar. What's the reason for that patur? Why are they exempt? So the Abudraham has an explanation for why they're exempt from these time-sensitive mitzvos, because the way he formulates it is very interesting. He says, women are mishubah to their husbands. They're basically enslaved. People wouldn't say it like that, but they have to be able to serve their husbands throughout the day. And what are they going to do if their husband asks for something and Hashem also asks them to do a mitzvah? So what are they going to do? They're going to have Hashem asking them to do one thing, their husband asking them to do something else. So what are they supposed to do? So therefore, they're exempt from these time-sensitive mitzvos, so they can just help take care of their husbands. It's not so relatable, I guess, to how we view marriage nowadays. And Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe kind of modernizes it a bit and says that this women are naturally involved with the house more. They're involved with Gidul Banim. They're helping raise the children, get them ready for school. They're so busy. That's why the Torah wanted to exempt them. The Torah exempts them from time-sensitive mitzvahs so they can focus on that role. Finally, Rav Hirsch has a very interesting explanation. Rav Hirsch says that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvos because they don't need them. He says men need the constant reminders. You have this time-sensitive mitzvah to remind ourselves throughout our day, hey, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the universe. Hey, you should remember you should do this mitzvah. Hey, you should do that mitzvah. That's a way of keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our minds. Rav Hirsch says that women are naturally more spiritually inclined. They don't need that timely reminder during the day, and that's why they don't have these mitzvos, because they don't need those mitzvos. It's not like everyone else thinks that, oh, they have less mitzvahs because they're less holy. No, they're more holy, they're more spiritual, and they don't need those extra reminders during the day. There's also a known machlokes about whether women can volunteer and make a bracha on mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. Right, the Rambam says that women do not make a bracha, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch at Sfardim paskin that if a woman volunteers to shake lulav for any other time-bound mitzvah, they don't make a bracha. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam says you do make a bracha, and that's how the Ramah and Ashkenazim paskin that you do make a bracha. There's another opinion out there, which is the way that Rashi in Erevin explains one side of the Gemara over there, that in fact women cannot volunteer to do time-bound mitzvahs. They can't even volunteer to do a mitzvah seh shahazman grama, because that would be a violation of Baal Tosif. You're exempt from these mitzvahs and you're going to go volunteer to do them anyway. Perhaps that's adding on to the Torah. So we don't paskin like that. That's technically a third opinion that's out there of women volunteering for these mitzvahs. There's a discussion also about how we define time-bound mitzvahs, like is Kiddush Lavana time-bound because we only do it once a month, but when it is depends on the moon. So is it time-bound or is it moon-bound? So other mitzvahs like that in Sefirat HaOmer depends on how we're going to exactly define Zman Grama in the first place. Gemara now continues, Umin ha-tefillin, women are going to be exempt from tefillin as well. The Gemara says, Pshita, obviously they're exempt from tefillin. After all, it's time bound. You can't wear tefillin at night. You can't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So obviously they're going to be exempt. So now to tema hol ve'iskish le'mezuzah, I would have thought maybe since there's a heckish between tefillin and mezuzah. Right? Two psukim are back to back in the first paragraph of Kriyash Maverick says, Ukshar tam by tefillin, and then Ukhsav tam by mezuzah. That's like they're chayav in mezuzah, which isn't time bound. Maybe they should be chayav even by tefillin. Kamash Malan, they're going to be exempt from tefillin. Mar continues, v'chayavin b'tfila, that women are chayav, they are obligated in tefillah. That was what the Mishnah said. The Mar explains, derachame ninu, they are chayav in tefillah because it's rachami, it's where we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for things, and women also need to talk and converse with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it makes sense, they're going to be chayav in tefillah. Mahu tema hol v'ksiva erev avoker v'tzaharayim k'mitzaseisha as magram adami. I would have thought maybe they're exempt from tefillah because it's also kind of time bound because the Torah says erev avoker v'tzaharayim. It's during specific times during the day. So kamash malan, women are going to be chayiv anyway. So women are definitely chayiv in tefillah to some extent, and there's a machlokes in the poskim about exactly how much they are chayiv. The Shulchan Aruch seems to take the side of the Rambam that they're chayiv to daven, but just one tefillah during the day, just something during the day. As we said, that's the shita of the Rambam, that tefillah is d'oraisa, but just to daven some tefillah during the day, and therefore the Magen Avraham says, just to say eze v'akasha, they're going to say anything, and that's going to be the woman's tefillah. Mishnah Berurah says, no, Mishnah Berurah says, women are actually, they are obligated, be the Rabbanon, but they're obligated in Shacharis, Mincha, and maybe also Ma'ariv. They are obligated, if they can, to daven those tefillahs as well. Ma'ariv is a bit of a question, but that seems to be from the Aruch HaShulchan, and Rav Soloveitchik also is quoted as saying that Ma'ariv is also included, that women are also obligated to daven Ma'ariv. The Musaf is an interesting discussion, which I'll talk about because it actually comes out from this past week's Parsha. In Parsha's Kisisa, we began talking about the Machtes HaShekel, where everyone would go and give, they'd donate the half shekel, and that was the fund that would fund the communal karbanos. Like the karban Musaf, for example, was brought, the money for that karban was from the Machtes HaShekel. So the Basamim Rosh, as Tshuva Sefer says, that perhaps women are exempt from Musaf. They may be chayav in other tefillos, but maybe they're exempt from Musaf because the Musaf is, the tefillah we have from Musaf is patterned after the Karban Musaf. The Karban Musaf is from the Machtes HaShekel, but women didn't have to give Machtes HaShekel. So maybe women are going to be exempt from Karban Musaf. But that's very difficult to understand, because you know who else didn't get the Machtes HaShekel? Kohanim and Leviim, are they exempt from Karban Musaf? People who are under 20 also didn't give Machtes HaShekel. Are they also exempt from Karban, from davening Musaf? So it's an interesting discussion about women in the Tefillah of Musaf specifically. The Gemara then shifts to mezuzah. Uven mezuzah, women are going to be chayav in mezuzah. So Gemara says, pshita. Obviously, that's not time bound. It's just put it on your house and it's there forever. So ma'od etema hol ve'iskash the Talmud Torah. I would have thought maybe they are chayav. They're patri. This is because they're patri from Talmud Torah as well. They're patri from Talmud Torah, as the Gemara in Kriyshon has several drushos explaining why they're exempt from Talmud Torah. And there's a hekish between one part in this second paragraph of Kriyashma, it says, V'li ma'atem osam es b'neichem, and then the next pasuk says, Uch sav tam. So it's a hekish, one pasuk back-to-back says, talks about Talmud Torah, and talks about mezuzah. So maybe just like they're exempt from Talmud Torah, they're also exempt from mezuzah. Kamash v'la, no, they're going to be chayiv in mezuzah. That's what our Mishnah is teaching us. The Gemara then continues and talks about Birkas Amazon, talking about benching. So Gemara says, Pshita, obviously they're going to be chayav in benching. So no, Mahu Tema, Hol V'ksiv B'sith Hashem Lachem Ba'erev Basar La'achol V'lechem Ba'boker Lisboa. That maybe by benching, it is kind of like Kivitzaseisha Hasman Gramadami. Because the Pasuk describes, this is the Pasuk describing B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, that Ba'erev they would have Basar, they'd have the Slav at night, and they'd have the Man, Lechem Ba'boker, they'd have the Man in the morning. So meals are also kind of timely. We have meals at certain times during the day. Maybe they should also be exempt from benching. Kamash Malan, then a woman are going to be Chayiv in benching. It's not Hasman Grama. One of the interesting discussions about Mitzvah Seisha Hazman Grama as well, which relates to what we said earlier when we were talking about tefillah, is whether this rule, this exemption applies to dinim derabbanan. Right, we definitely say a woman, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, oh, but it's time-bound, fine, they're going to be exempt from those time-bound d'oraisa mitzvos. But what about derabbanan mitzvos? So remember back in the conversation, the Gemara had a back and forth about tefillah, about whether rachamin inhu. So Rashi takes out from that Gemara, he erases from that Gemara the whole girsa that mentions about, oh, is it metzaseisha as mangrama, or is it not as mangrama, kamash malan, that really they are chayiv. Rashi takes out any mention of metzaseisha as mangrama by tefillah, because Rashi says tefillah is derabanan, and this petur, metzaseisha as mangrama, for women, is nothing to do with dinam derabanan. That's only by dinam deoraisa. Whereas tos over here, the very top tosos, Chaf Medez says that no, even by Dim Deoraisa, by Dim Derabanan as well, we also see Chazal talk about the exemption mitzvah saseh, says Mangrama, says by Hala, which is Derabanan, it happens that Mara has that conversation. So it's a very fundamental machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, whether the Petur mitzvah saseh, says Mangrama, applies to Derabanans as well. Rashi says absolutely not. The Derabanan are metakein a certain halacha, they can be metakein it for women just as easily. But Tosfos say no, this exemption also applies to Dinim, Derabanan as well. The Gemara now continues to talk about women's obligation in Kiddush. Amar Ravada Barava, Nashim Chayavos Bekiddush Hayom Devar Torah. Ravada Barava says, right, he's Ravada Barava, the same one who ripped the clothing off of the woman on the previous Amud. He comes back to talk about halacha this time, that women are obligated in Kiddush on Shabbos Devar Torah. Gemara asks, Amai mitzaseisha as mangramahu, chum mitzaseisha as mangrama nashim peturos. Why are they chayav in Kiddush on Shabbos? Aren't they exempt from time bound mitzvos? This is pretty time bound. It's only once a week, only on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye midirabanan. Right? Maybe they're exempt chum mitzaseisha as mangrama, but they're chayav. We meant they're only chayav midirabanan. So Amalei Rava, what are you talking about? V'hadavar Torah kamar. Did you hear what Ravada Barava said? He said, Meshem chayavos b'kiddush hayom divar Torah. He didn't mean derabanan. He literally said, v'chayav midoraisa. V'od kol mitzaseh nechayvinu midorabanan. And also, if you're gonna say that over here, v'chayav midorabanan, you're gonna tell me that whenever we say that a woman is exempt from a time-bound mitzvah, that really they are still chayav midorabanan. But if you say lulav, women are pater from lulav because it's a time-bound mitzvah, they're not chayav midorabanan. You're going to say every single time that they're potter from mitzvah seishas mangrama, they're going to be chayav midrabanan. That's simply not true. Ella amar Rava, amar Kra. Rather, this is why they're chayav in Kiddush Hayom. Right? It's a time-bound mitzvah, but they're still chayav because of the following rule. Amar Kra, Zachor, v'shamar. Right? In one of the Seras HaDibros, it says Zachor, and the other, it says Shamar. So the famous rule of kol she yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zechira. Anyone who's obligated in Shemira Shabbos, in the low sases of Shabbos, is also going to be obligated in Zechira, in the positive commandments of Shabbos. The Hani Nashi hold the Isnehu Bishmira, Isnehu Bizakhira. And therefore women, since they're obligated in the low sases of Shabbos, women are obligated in all low sases. Even the time bound low sases, they're also chayiv in those. So once they're chayiv in the low sases of Shabbos, Isnehu Bizakhira, they are also going to be obligated in the ases of Shabbos. So that's the rule of kol she yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'sechira, and that's why women are obligated in Kiddush. Are there any, that's the Gemara's example, is Kiddush. Are there any other halachos that women are obligated in as a result of this rule of kol she yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'sechira? So our Gemara says Kiddush, and the question is, what about Havdalah? Right, Havdalah, the Rambam says, Zachar Shem HaShavos Lekacho includes both Kiddush and Havdalah. Zachreu alayayin biknisaso ubi yitziyaso. When Shabbos begins and ends, we bookend Shabbos with Kiddush. So maybe that's also a zachor mitzvah that women should be obligated in. The question is Havdalah really a Shabbos mitzvah? Because we perform Havdalah after Shabbos is over. It's really a post-Shabbos mitzvah. So maybe kol sheyeshno b'shmir yeshno b'zechira applies to be mechayev women in the Shabbos mitzvah, but Havdalah won't be included in that because Havdalah isn't a Shabbos mitzvah, it's a post-Shabbos mitzvah. So that's why it's unclear if they're actually going to be chayev, just like men, in Havdalah. And that's why women definitely do hear Havdalah. But if a man was already yotzei Havdalah in shul, he shouldn't go home to say Havdalah just for a woman, because it's unclear if they actually are or aren't chayev in Havdalah. But they themselves, the woman herself, should say Havdalah for herself. The other question, the other mitzvahs, thing about mitzvahs aseh that come up on Shabbos, so other ones, other examples are, what about Lechem Mishnah? Or what about Shalosh Hodis? Those are also Shabbos mitzvahs. So are women chayav in those? Maybe you should say that that's because of the rule of kol she yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'zechira. So everyone agrees that women are obligated in Lechem Mishnah and Shalosh Hodis. The question is why? So Rabbeinu Tam says they're chayav because af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas, those are things that we learn, those are from the Parshas Haman, from the miracle of the Man. We learn this halachos of having Lecha Mishnah and of having Shalosh Shudas, having three meals on Shabbos. Since women are also included in that miracle, therefore they're also going to be obligated in Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas. And the Ran says, Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have to mention anything about Afin Hayu Ba'oso Anes, it's simply our Gemara's rule of Kol She Yeshno Bishmira, Yeshno Bizechira. That's another example, according to the Ran, that Shalosh Shudas and Lecha Mishnah, women are obligated in because of this rule of Kol She Yeshno Bishmira Yeshno Bezechira. So we have Kiddush, Havdalah, maybe, and Lecha Mishnah and Shalosh Shudas. The Gemara now continues to go back and talk about women's obligation in benching. Amar Le Ravina Le Rava. Nashim b'birkas hamazon de oraisa o de rabbanim. Are women obligated in benching on a de oraisa level, or perhaps only on a de rabbanim level? And the Gemara asks, lamai nafkamina. We don't know, are they chayav in de oraisa, or are they chayav in de rabbanim? And the Gemara asks, what's a nafkamina? Who cares? So if I asked you, what's a nafkamina between a de oraisa and a de rabbanim, what would you say? Any takers? If I have to say, oh, is this halakha, a d'oraisa halakha, or a d'rabbanan halakha? Oh, but what's a nafkamina? Who cares if it's a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? There's a classic nafkamina for d'oraisas and d'rabbanans. Suffik. Why doesn't the Gemara say suffik? She has to know. Suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, suffik d'rabbanan l'kula. That's my go-to answer for what's the nafkamina between d'oraisas and d'rabbanans. But the Gemara doesn't say that. And that the tzlach over here and on Daf Chav talks about why the Gemara doesn't say that. Some achronim say that, oh, it could have said that, and instead it went with a different explanation, but Tzlach has a tremendous chiddush about when we do apply that the rule of Sabik Darabanan Lekula, which is a fascinating chiddush we don't have time for, but that's the Tzlach over here, talks about why it doesn't mention Suffolk over here, but the Gemara does say, Lamay Nafkamina La'afuke Rabim Yedei Chovasan. To exempt other people, to exempt men from their obligation, because men are obligated midoraisa. So iamrat deoraisa. If women are also obligated deoraisa, then great. Asi deoraisa, mapik deoraisa. She's chayav deoraisa. He's chayav deoraisa. So she can be motzi him because they have the same level obligation. But ala iamrat derabanan. But if she's only chayav midorabanan, have she'enu mechuyah bedavar. Relative to him who's chayav deoraisa, she's as if she's not even chayav at all. She doesn't have the same level of obligation. Because she'enu mechuyah bedavar, enu motzi yatzarabim midei chovasan. If you're not chayav at the deoraisa level, you can't be motzi other people. So that's what we have to know. Is she chayav d'oraisa or is she chayav midrabanan? So Gemara says, my. So what is it? So Gemara says, Tashma, we have a proof that from the following braisa. It says, the MS Amru, that really, halachically speaking, ben mevarech la'aviv, the eved mevarech la'rabo, the isha mevareches la'baila. That a son can bench for his father, an eved can bench for his master, and a wife can bench for her husband. Aval Amru chachamim, tavo mara la'adam, she'ishta ubana mevarechim lo. It doesn't say anything good about you if you can't bench yourself and you need to have your kid or your wife bench for you. You don't even know the words of benching, you have to have someone else be motzi you. That isn't a great thing about you, but technically, halachically speaking, a woman can be motzi her husband in benching. That seems to be a proof right there. Iyamar peshlama deoraisa. If you say she's chayav mi deoraisa, then fantastic. Asi deoraisa, umapik deoraisa. She's chayav deoraisa, and that's why she's able to be motzi her husband, who's also chayav deoraisa. Ala iyamar derabanan. If you say that she's only chayav mi derabanan, so how is she motzi him? Asi derabanan umapik deoraisa. How can she, who's a derabanan, be motzi her husband, who's a deoraisa? Seems to be a proof that she is chayav mi deoraisa. Gemara says, wait a second. We had other examples besides wife. We also had an example of a ben, a child. Bo tamich katan bar chiyuvah hu. How are you going to explain katan? We said a katan is motzi his father. Katan, everyone agrees, is a derabanan. And still we said he could be motzi his father, who was a deraisa. So what's going on over here? Ela hacha b'maya skinan, kegon she'achal shiura derabanan. It's when the husband or the father ate a shiur derabanan. And that's why, even though the child or the woman may be only chayav midrabanan, she was able to be motzi her husband because asi derabanan umapik derabanan. So in reality, there are different shiurim to obligate you in benching. If you eat a kezayis or a kebetza, you're chayav in benching midrabanan. If you eat a full meal, kedei svia, then you're going to be chayav midoraisa. So what was the case over here? So really, women in general are chayav midorabanan in benching, and men may be chayav midoraisa. So the case over here was a man who ate a derabanan shir, he had a kezayis or a kebetza, so he's chayav midorabanan, and the woman, she ate a full shir of kedei svia, which is also, for her, a derabanan. So that's why she was able to be motzi her husband, because she was a derabanan, and he was a derabanan, but not because she herself was chayav in benching midoraisa. As a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, as to why is it that women are only chayav in benching midorabanan and not midoraisa? What are they lacking? We said it's not a time-bound mitzvah, so they're chayav in it, but why do they have a lesser chayav? Why would they have only a derabanan obligation? So Rashi says that it's because the pasuk mentions the land. Ala aretz atova. There, Rashi Oder Rabbanan, the Chsiv Ala Aretz HaTova Asher Nasan Lach. It talks about the land of Eretz Yisrael, and women were not included in Chalukas HaAretz, of the distribution of different portions of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they're not going to have the full obligation of benching. And Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? Kohanim and Leviim also don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos explains, rather it's because the pasuk says, the benching, it says, Al Briska Shechasam Tabib Sarenu, Va'al Tarascha Shelimatanu, that talks about the mitzvos of Bris Mila and Talmud Torah, and women are exempt from Bris Mila and Talmud Torah. So that's what they're lacking that would make their obligation be only a obligation in benching Midir Rabbanim. We're now going to end off with the following short piece of Gemara. Darash Rav Avira Zimnin Amala Mishmei Derabi Amin Vezimnin De Amala Mishmei Derab Asi. Rav Avira quoted from Rav Ami or from Rav Asi. Amru Malachi Yashar Safnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam Kasubis Arasecha Asher Lo Yosafanim Olo Yikach Shochad. The Torah says that Hashem, you don't take briberies, you don't show favor to individual people over other people. But what do you mean? V'halo ata nose panam le'Yisrael. T'chsev yisa Hashem panav elecha. But you do show favor to Bnei Yisrael. So that seems to be a contradiction. Do you not show favor to people, or do you show favor to Bnei Yisrael? So Amalahem, Hashem responds to the Malachim. V'chilo esa panam le'Yisrael. How could I not show favor to Bnei Yisrael? Shekasafti lehem betorah v'achal v'savata uverachta Hashem alokecha. That I told them that midoraisa, they only have to bench for eating a full kedei svia, and still what do? Wow, they go so above and beyond. Hey, medaktikim al asmam ad kezayis ve'ad kebetza. They're medaktik that they even bench for a small amount. That's what Bnei Yisrael do. That's so tremendous, and that's why they are deserve me to show favor to them specifically. Some of the Achronim explain it's referring to people who are poor. People who have so little, all they have is a kezayis, all they have is a kebetza, and if I only had a small amount of food, I'd probably be a little upset at the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But these people, they daven and they thank Hashem for what they have. Wow, that's an amazing quality of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why Yisa Hashem, Panav Elecha, Hashem shows favor to Bnei Yisrael. So we spoke today, we finished off the conversation of Kavod HaBrios being Docha, Lotaseh Sheba Torah. The two exceptions are Kavod HaBrios wins out for Derabanans and for Sheva Ataseh. And we spoke about why did the earlier generations have miracles happen for them? Because they were Moser Nefesh. Like Rav Adah Barava, who was Moser Nefesh to remove the inappropriate clothing, even though it ended up being a kusi. We had Rav Gidl and Rav Yochanan who would sit by the mikvah. And then we Anachaf Medei spoke about women's obligation in mitzvos, midrabanan, mitzvah seisha as man grama, time-bound mitzvos, and we spoke about women in tefillah and women in kiddush, whether women are chayav in benching midoraisa or midrabanan, and we concluded with this piece of Gemara, but Hashem shows favor to Bnei Yisrael because we even bench ad kezayis, the ad kebetzah.